But it was in 3D. I'm just gonna keep saying that.
It's in spell.
Think about it.
The sales of the smell the shit.
All right. Tales from the Stupid.
I think Jack needs some time to recover.
You know, somewhere about halfway through that movie review, it devolved from suck ass movie to Tale of the Stupid.
Oh, yes. The AK jammed up and we started laughing.
Yeah, the AK-47 the guy had totally jammed up. I'm like, I call bullshit. That's an AK. It wouldn't jam up.
Just conveniently, right when he was about to die, it jammed up. Right when he needed it.
Yeah.
Dak, don't look at me. I don't know. I'm trying to help you.
Why would you try to make it a womanized human interest story out of Resident fucking Evil? You don't put in a little kid and make Mila Jovovich go all swoony.
Because it makes people
look,
think.
Look, I gotta go soon, okay?
Tales of the Stupid,
Tales
come on.
Tales of the Stupid.
I have two, so...
Can I start?
Yeah, he's gotta go.
I gotta go with my wife. Alright, this one's gonna be real quick, but it's gonna get some good discussion, so that's why I wanted to get some time for it. Right. I had it happen to me right today, okay? I was driving along, I got onto the Oak Street Bridge, I was behind this car, I'm like, oh, bumper sticker, I always speed up and read the bumper stickers, because they're always good. So I speed up behind this person, and I look at it, and this is no shit what the bumper sticker says, to the officer, I don't have coffee, donuts, or cleavage, so just write me the goddamn ticket.
Oh!
Wow. If I was a cop, I would pull him over every single day just for fun.
How the worst commute is.
And I would give him a donut, too.
Like, are you fucking retarded?
I'd bring donuts with me just to give it to him as I was writing him a $500 ticket.
Now at least you have one. Like, have a nice
day. How retarded do you have to be to have that bumper sticker on your car? Like...
He doesn't give a shit about authority because he's a fucking man.
Oh, yeah,
he's
I know.
Gangsta.
Real anarchist right there.
I had a guy last night at the hotel. We had to call the cops because he screamed at the baller because the baller didn't give him what he wanted. He wanted to make a free phone call.
Yeah.
And we pointed out where the payphones were, and so he lost his cool and started screaming, so I kicked him out. And we had to call the cops over to deal with some other problems. So the cops were not even moving towards this guy. He approached the cop car and proceeded to tell the cop to go fuck himself.
Wow.
I love it when they don't even make it hard for him.
It's even better.
The cop actually, I honestly think the cop was like at first going like, okay, where's the camera?
Wait, am I allowed to taser him? I don't know. Is this a game show? Fuck.
It's a test. It's a test.
I mean, seriously, am I off kilter? Is this as reasonable or like?
No, the guy's a douchebag and is asking.
The
for
thing
trouble.
Is that it wasn't even. It was a normal looking vehicle. It was normal looking. It was like a grocery getter kind of half SUV, half normal car, and. It was the only bumper sticker on the entire car.
It was this midlife crisis.
Have you ever noticed that there seems to be this stronger thing? Like, people that aren't even, like, you know, really anti-authoritarian, sometimes they're, fuck the police!
Because it's cool, man.
Yeah, this is the new thing. It's like this anti-authoritarian idiocy.
I think what it has to do with most people feel like they're absolutely nothing. Most of them people are nothing. That's just the fact of existence. So they feel that they, to compensate for this, for their own insecurities, they have to lash out at what they perceive that makes them feel small.
Yes. Authority makes the people feel like they have no control over their lives.
I honestly think, just because of the look of the car and the kind of person, like, it was your average, like, take the kids to school, grocery getter, I think they thought it was funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Like, it seemed like it would be the kind of car that somebody
would
drive.
There's no accounting for
some people's taste.
This is the count of, well, there's people that listen to us, exactly.
This is like a white kid at Sharks Club wearing a Fuck the Police t-shirt.
Yeah, this is exactly what it is. There's this very strong...
I have a guy that comes into my bar that has, it's a black hat, and it just has a white lettering that just says fuck.
Yeah.
Which, you know, okay, whatever, that's fine. But he's actually taken one of the felt, the white paint markers and wrote, cops. Onto the brim of his hat, and he comes in all the time, and he wears the hat backwards, and he just walks around.
So you'll never see them coming to tackle him from behind.
No, we had the VPD doing a walkthrough, and the cop just looks at the kid, and I look at the kid, and the cop just does this, and I facepalm, and the cop chuckles and leaves, and then I go, I actually grab the kid,
hauled him out, threw him out the door, and the cop is standing there going... and I, like, wave at the cop, and he's like...
For those of you who are listening to most of this, the cop basically did the fingers, you're cool.
He did the Fonzie.
My tale of the stupid actually involves the police walk through at my bar, so I'm going to grab
Jimmy's?
Here. Jimmy's, yeah.
I'm sorry to the public. I need to go and pick up my wife because I have to sleep tonight. Because I have to at some point close my eyes.
Yeah. By the way, speaking about wives, my wife wants you to take your other bottle.
Yes.
No, your other bottle.
I got the bottle.
He'll bomb the bottle.
Cave troll out.
See you later.
You're fired.
Well, he is
me and Seacrest.
Yeah.
You would kill Seacrest.
Fuck yeah, I would.
Good night, Sue.
Toodles.
See you, Sue.
I'm gonna go gay something up now.
Oh, you just missed the captain's fist pump.
Fist pump.
There you go. Yeah.
I don't feel so.
See
bad.
You, internet. Have fun.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, so I'm DJing at Jimmy's, and did I mention the story about Starbucks on the last show?
Yes, you did.
Okay, well, for anyone who missed the last show, brief recap, heard a story from a friend that people were getting tickets at a Starbucks drive-thru for using their phones to pay for their coffee, which is...
So there's a phone app, you go up to the thing, you're in the drive-thru, and you go click... And you hold up this little thing to the screen, and it allows you to... It deducts money that you've put into your phone's account for Starbucks. So it's like having a Starbucks card that's your phone.
Yeah. So...
What do they ticket you for?
Using your phone while driving is what they were ticketing people for.
But you're not on a public road.
That was the first thing I said. There's a bunch of other things. And we've all agreed this is a dumb idea. Hence... this story. Allow her to continue.
So, Friday night, it's relatively dead after 12:30 most nights, but that night it was fucking dead. Like, it was the staff cleaning and two guys that were just paying their bills when two cops come in for a walkthrough. And the one guy's, you know, kind of young, kind of like just looking around, trying to pretend like he's working. The other guy's an old...
professional. Great,
yeah, an old pro. Old salty dog, and he comes in and he's looking around, so what's the story with this place? You know, what the hell happened? You know, and you know, we usually close up at 1 o'clock, and oh, okay. So they're chit-chatting, and they're sharing a few jokes, the bartender, Pat, and this older cop kind of joking around. Pat wanders off to do something, and I seize the opportunity. I kind of walk up beside the guy, and I'm like, hey, can I ask you a strange question? Oh, yeah, sure, so... I tell him this story. And I say, you know, I don't understand how someone could be getting a ticket for using their phone for its intended purpose while at a complete stop in a drive-thru. And he's trying to say, well, why would they even be using their phone? I mean, if you're texting in a drive-thru, yes, you can get a ticket because you are operating a motor vehicle while using your phone. But in that case, your vehicle is in drive, you're in motion... whatever. Yeah. The whole private property shit doesn't apply. Like, think if you get an accident in a parking lot. Cops still show up, right? That's how he explained it. But I explained to him, well, no, it's like having a Tim's card. But the Tim's card is your phone. And he instantly, like, you see the light bulb go off, you know, the equation.
You've used his language.
Yes. I translated for him. He goes, oh, well, that's cool. Why the fuck would anyone... You okay?
She's fine.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Oh, yeah, so he says, why on earth? And he's like, you can see him kind of like get that, like you get when you get confused and angry, that stuttering, like, wait, what? Huh? What? Really? What? Okay. Number one, there's no reason they should be getting a ticket for that. Number two, common fucking sense says that anyone who disputes that ticket is gonna
win.
And this is the best part. Up until this point, we've kind of been talking like normal people, like moderate volume levels. But number three, I would beat the shit out of the cop that gave me that ticket.
Nice.
From the cop.
For those of you on our hangout and for those of you on the air, my wife just walked in, so yay. Say hello, wifey. Hi.
Hello, wifey.
So yeah, that was my cop story. I have one more for later, but I'll pass it off to
somebody. All right, I have one from Surrey.
Okay.
Yay!
Always good fodder.
All right, so I'm going to school at SFU. They have three different campuses. One of them is in Surrey. Unfortunately, I have to take classes there this semester.
I'm sorry.
Not repeating that mistake next semester. It is Les Silly, because it's attached to a mall in Surrey.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Fun times. So I'm on the fifth floor waiting for my class to start.
I'm sorry.
And I'm you can stop saying I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
So I'm leaning up on the rail, looking over down to the mall from the fifth floor up, because, hey, vertigo's fun.
I'm sorry.
Trying to find something to talk to Lucy.
And I'm spying on the scum that walks around malls in Surrey.
That was well done.
And I'm
well brought up would be a better term. Aww.
And eventually I start chatting with this one girl who's there early as well, just talking about, you know, what would happen if we kind of fell off the edge? What would that look like? Where would the fluids fall? Which store would be the most affected? You know, typical overly stressed university discussion.
Yeah.
And this one guy shows up that she obviously knows from somewhere else, and she kind of turns, hey, what's up? Then we both look down, and he's not wearing any shoes.
What?
And she goes, dude, you're not wearing any shoes. And he's like, yeah. I turn to him like, you're not wearing any shoes. What happened? You're not wearing any shoes.
See, that's like the time I wasn't wearing any pants. But never mind. Carry on.
Okay. So, he goes to explain that his flip-flops fell apart when he was walking to school.
Okay.
And I'm like, all right. Now, why didn't you go and fix this? Because if you follow me, look down there. That's a mall. You know what they have in mall?
Shoes.
Yes, but students don't have money.
Money.
Well, so it's more the case is he didn't want to go back down the five flights of stairs.
Oh, wait.
But I tried to incentivize things to him. You're walking barefoot at Surrey Central. You know the AIDS per, you know, meter square here is frightening? You're taking your life into your own hands.
Okay, no, he said he didn't want to walk back down.
Which meant that he was there and then
walked up.
Yes.
Now, what store would actually serve him if he wasn't wearing shoes?
Well, this is a point he raised.
Probably a shoe store.
Well, no, shoe stores will not. Well, they won't do it because you're not wearing shoes, so if you don't buy the shoes, they have to clean the shoes. Because you have no socks.
No shirt, no shoes, no service.
But if you go to a dollar store, you can buy $2 flip-flops, and that's not a problem.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but he's like, yeah, but I don't want to go down there. And I'm like, at some point, you have to walk outside at Surrey Central with no shoes.
Better to do it while the shops are open.
Yes, business class goes until 7:30 at night.
You know,
This kid's supposed to be one of our smart elite.
No. Well,
he's in a 100-level class. He hasn't proved that yet. Anyone can take a 100-level course.
To proving the opposite.
Yeah.
Once you get to the 300-level courses, if that's stupid, then there's some questions need to be asked.
Then you'd be pushed off the fifth floor.
And it's important to describe what this kid looks like. He's about 5'7", average height. He's wearing those kind of cargo pants that are multiple cargo pants stitched together.
Yes.
And he has a very curly white fro that's blonde. So he's got some very unfortunate ancestral background there. And he's...
He's a ginger kid minus the ginger.
And he wears flip-flops.
It's there's like carrot talk right mixed with a hipster.
Yeah.
Men shouldn't wear flip-flops, I'm sorry. Particularly not in public.
Ew. But the thing is, the girl he knows is this smoking hot redhead with kind of the supermodel figure, but the way supermodels should look with actual curves and that kind of thing. I'm like, he looks like that, he knows her, he's that stupid.
That makes her look smart.
Yeah.
It's like a beard.
Good week. That was the correct use of the word.
Yeah.
I'm impressed.
You looked really sad for a second.
No, confused. I didn't get it.
A beard is a term for, say you're gay or secretly gay.
And you keep a really hot girl
with you. It's called a beard. It's also the same thing for, say, a lesbian who has a quote-unquote boyfriend. It is...
Yeah,
a beard. And
this guy's called a beard.
She's keeping a stupid guy around to make her look more academic in the academic environment.
Good point. That's actually pretty clever.
Okay.
Wow.
Because she was raised in Surrey, but it's clearly she's one of the better achieving students in the class, so she's trying to not appear a Surrey girl.
She's trying to get out.
Yes. Hence, she's in university. None of the
I didn't think anybody actually tried to get out of there.
Well, see, none of the students in the Surrey campus are from Surrey.
Well, obviously nobody pulls out of there.
Well,
anyway.
Anyhow, unless you have somewhere else to go with this story.
Well, I saw him later, about 4 hours later, and I said, "You still do not have shoes." He's like, "Yeah, I know. I'm going to go home now."
On the bus?
Apparently he took transit, because he didn't try and question the fact you're going on public transit with no shoes earlier, so I would assume that means he does take transit.
Mm-hmm.
I would want to wear shoes on transit. It's one of
I
those things.
I want to wear a bio suit when I'm on transit.
I don't take transit.
Exactly.
I'm like, I've seen the people who hang
around
services.
You know, that's not, I'm going to argue this, and I know I'm going to get arguments right away. That's not a tale of the stupid. That's a suicide attempt.
That's a cry for help.
That's a cry for help.
I would actually disagree with that and go so far as to say it was an attempt on Darwinism.
So I've had people, you know, comment in the prison, they don't beat up people at Surrey Central as they have feeling like their knuckles might cut and they'll get AIDS by punching them.
Yeah, I know.
And he's walking around barefoot.
Yeah, I know.
I've played Kick the Needle on that place because it's just that filthy.
Well, like, is it my job and Mayhem's job, we have to arrest crackheads. I ain't punching them. Fuck that.
Is it possible
to give someone at least an honorable mention for, you know, going for a Darwin Award in slow motion?
Maybe.
I honestly think it's a cry for help. I really do.
If he is going in slow motion, maybe it's just proof that actually that the intelligent factor actually contributes to how fast they're going towards the award.
You mean you have to, if you're so stupid at some point, it actually takes longer.
Mm-hmm.
Dragging it out, making it more painful.
Guys, we're thinking way too hard on this stuff.
And creating a TV series like Honey Boo Boo.
But see, there are
people... We can be rich!
But that doesn't work. There's flaws in logic. People have driven cars across RPG warheads and blown themselves up. I mean, that's pretty bloody stupid. Or thrown cigarette butts into fuel, like Shell refinery fuel tanks. I mean...
All right. My tale.
Yeah, but that's military. That's a difference.
Okay. I promised a couple of people I would actually tell this story, so I'm definitely going to get this story out. Now, this did not happen this weekend. Despite having a bad weekend, I had no real trouble other than the guy I mentioned who we had to call the cops for, and he managed to talk himself into the back of the cruiser. Last weekend, and this actually involves Mr. Mayhem in some small way.
Oh, yes.
Now, it's not that late. It's about maybe 8. No, it was about 10 or 12 o'clock, because it wasn't really that late for anything. Wasn't really anything going on. And I see Mr. Mayhem at my front door of the hotel waving at me. And I go out, and he's going... I thought maybe you wanted to come over and see. And I'm like, what? He said, we're out here dealing with something. Apparently, him and Uncle Fester had seen an individual so drunk, he got up from his table, walked outside, and collapsed. So they go over. They're going to deal with it. Before they can, however, two other guests or customers from Denny's pick the guy up. Now, no idea why, and then they walk off in the distance across the parking lot.
It was a drunken kidnapping.
Rape
well,
attempt.
No, yeah. To be honest, Uncle Fester actually thought they were going to roll him.
Oh, yeah,
but
maybe.
Apparently what had happened was, and this we finally got out of him, although you had left at this point, is that he had told them that he had been at Sharks and needed to go home and he had to get to the bus station. So they were going to help him towards the bus station, the bus kiosk, when he started to throw up on himself and he couldn't really walk. So they left him on the side of the road in disgust and went off to Sharks themselves. It took a while to find. So anyhow, before that, Uncle Fester and Mr. Mayhem here had gone over and found the guy puking on himself. And then he would collapse and kind of roll in the vomit and would just kind of lie there. And so I walk over, get a whiff of it, and I've already been having a bad night at this point. And so I did my usual where I complained and I kind of bitched about this job. I just really got to find real work because this is thing. And Uncle Fester decided to fuck with me. It's like, what? you would miss this. And he starts talking about all the other people who have left. And he said, look at Mayhem here. He can't wait to get back in. That's why he had to come over. Mayhem took one look at me walking up, by the way, and said, well, you're here. Goodbye.
Ain't my problem anymore.
So I go over there and I'm just like, fuck my life. Just totally fuck my life. There's no reason why an adult male of seriously, if my intelligence, my education should be dealing with this shit at almost 50 years of age. Fuck this shit. And I'm kind of having one of my little rants and moods. And Uncle Fester is writing me about this. So finally, we've called the cops because this guy cannot literally move. He can't even stand on his own. He is, and he's just because continuously puking on himself.
Where is it all coming from?
Well, literally, at one point, it was literally running down the road,
like a river
nice. Towards the drain. Puke river.
I've only seen that once before, and it was amazing.
So, the cop comes, takes one look at him, and just, we need a wagon. We need an ambulance. We have somebody down and very ill.
And he's probably thinking, yes, I can pass it off to the paramedics.
Yes. So the paramedics finally get there. Paramedics take one look at him and they're like, oh! Whoa! And they look over at us and they, with this desperation in their eyes, they go, would you like to give us a hand? And I look at Uncle Fester and he's still kind of grimacing and looking at this kid, but he's grinning because he's been fucking me over for the last little while. And I say, we'd love to. What? Double take from Uncle Fester. So the paramedic very quickly reaches into his pocket, pulls out a pair of gloves and hands them to me, and I hand one pair to Uncle Fester. And now remember, I used to do this all the time. I've handled every human body fluid you can think of, and yes, including that. And we won't talk about that. And pull the gloves on. And they're like, yeah, you're going to need to take his shirt off. And I'm like, we have no problem doing that. And Fester is like, literally, he is like now trying, because we're in close, right? And he is fighting to keep all of this in. So we have to unbutton his shirt and peel it off of him. And I like fold it up and I'm like, have you got a bag? And he went, yeah, just give me a second. Holds it open, I drop the bag, the shirt in. And Fester and I then have to pick this kid up while he's still like, drool, vomit, just hanging down in strings. We drop him onto the gurney, we lift his legs up. He just kind of curls into a fetal position. We put the blanket over him, and he starts the last little residues. And as it was, Fester looked down. He said, "Oh, what you have? Spaghetti?" And it's like the kids. Oh, and he looks down. Oh, yeah, it's Chinese. And I said, "My one piece of advice to you is from now on, try chewing." So that's how I got even with Uncle Fester.
That was great. Is I was at Denny's the day this happened.
Yes, yeah, so yeah. I come in so and I've got like this shit-eating grin on my face.
You sat down, crossed your arms, like, I have a story to tell. Meanwhile, I'm there with the Punmeister and I just call him He Sucks. And they're eating still.
Yeah, and I proceed to tell. And I'm like, and this kid just brought up everything. And then the kid is like, no, I'm okay.
He started trying to hand off food to me. And I'm like, no, I'm good. I've already eaten. I'm fine.
Mind you, Denny's kind of has that effect on most people.
Yeah. when we were finished with that, I went in, sat down, and ordered a half order of nachos right in front of Uncle Fester, who comes in and he's like, how the fuck can you do that? And I'm like, want some?
I think it's important to add Denny's nachos. What Denny's nachos look like, especially after they've been sitting for about 5 minutes, is a bowl of puke.
The puke looks better than Denny's nachos.
Don't ever fuck with me. I will get even.
Corkscrew.
Yeah, yeah. And you know it's coming.
Bring it.
So did you actually Google how to...
What's her number?
Oh, fuck off. That's going to... Well, I can just get you back, though.
How?
Do you really want to... I know.
Like what? Like what have I done?
I'll figure something out.
So after the conversation we had earlier this week, did you actually Google how to paint a fence so you won't smash it?
It was not the fence. That was my phone I was talking about.
Uh-huh. Well, no wonder it doesn't work.
Yeah, I had to paint the fence over the weekend, and it was just... my sciatic nerve ended up bothering me by the end of it. So, and everyone thought I was talking about painting the fence. I was talking about my phone. Long story short. Never mind.
Wait, were we actually talking about painting a like an actual fence?
Like, yes, like behind you, outside there, the fence. I had to paint it.
That fence.
Okay, I thought there was like some sort of hidden...
Metaphor? Thing. No, yeah. I had not. I was painting the fence this weekend. Ooh, did that hurt?
Yeah. Did you use lube?
A smartphone is only as smart as the operator.
I love you. Go fuck yourself.
So Deck has the special phone. Woo-hoo!
Anyhow, next, moving along. Anyone else got a tale of the stupid?
Nope.
Yes, you got a second one.
I have another one.
Okie dokie, let's hear it.
Oh, I was waiting for you guys. You got stuff.
Does no one else have a tale of the stupid?
What makes you think we got stuff?
You have nothing to tell working what you do now as an LPL?
Not allowed to.
He does.
I got a couple.
You're not allowed?
Send stuff to Crown Council and stuff. That hasn't gone through.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You can't talk about it if it's actually going to be going for prosecution.
Yeah, I got a couple that aren't going to prosecution that I can talk about.
Okay.
Okay, well, I think it was the last episode. I was talking about the grocery store, the crab incident.
Yeah.
Same grocery store, working there last, yeah, it was this past, right? I think Safer just nutted himself.
No, he just kicked my sofa and he just broke his toe.
I know I need it, right? Like that weird spot between your kneecaps.
Funny as nutting yourself.
Your knee funny bone.
Yeah.
Wait, can I hit him in the nuts with something?
That was a weird little squeak that came out of me, too.
Yes.
Actually, you know what? I kind of have to go, too. I got to get up in less than 8 hours.
Okay, well.
I'm just going to do my story, but yeah.
Okay.
Fuck your story.
Yep. All right.
You leaving?
Yeah, I'm going to.
So I will see you two later. Well, it was nice having you, and we will see you next week.
Good I haven't actually had you yet, but there'll be time.
Huh? What?
Nice. I said it was nice having you, and so he says, I haven't actually had you yet, but there'll be time.
Well, now it was bound to happen eventually.
Yeah, we were roommates for 2 years.
I'm kind of trying to process here what's funnier, the joke itself or the fact that it took him that long to figure it out.
And required diagrams and dolls.
You see, he's a special boy.
Good night, <Adam. laughs>
So, anyway.
Nice boy, not too bright.
It was actually, this past weekend for me, it was just one thing after another, it seemed. The Friday, I was working at the grocery store I was talking about last time. And we have this guy who has been caught coming in. He's been caught on camera. Stealing a bunch of different things, actually. But the one thing he is known for that he takes every time that he's in there is a side of halibut. So he's been dubbed...
Wait, he's a routine shoplifter.
Yes. So he has been dubbed the halibut thief.
What store? No, I know you can't say the actual store, but what city district is this store in?
Maple Ridge.
Halibut thief.
Yeah.
In Maple Ridge.
In Maple Ridge, yes.
Go on.
So anyway, he has been caught on camera and by staff, and he has been banned from the store. So technically, I don't have to have any reason whatsoever to grab this guy.
Yeah. He just
has to set foot in the store, and I put him under arrest for trespassing.
Trespassing, yes.
Easy enough. So he gets down there. And before I could, I just literally just come down the stairs to start my shift. It was about 9 o'clock in the morning. I just started my shift. I come down the stairs, and who's using the public phone over by the door to call a taxi?
But halibut thief.
So I'm like, oh, boy, I get to take this guy down. Fun, fun. So I start going over there, and all of a sudden one of the managers pops up from around the corner, grabs him. I'm like, fuck! No, I can't do anything because the manager's going to throw him out.
Yeah.
So the manager is standing there screaming at him.
Yes.
Like, I told you, you're not supposed to be in here and blah, 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 and everything else. And probably the best reference I could think of, I thought about it all weekend, probably the best reference I could think of is this. Anybody who has seen the movie My Cousin Vinny?
Yeah.
Remember the scene where they decided that they were going into, after all the witness testimony and everything, they're going into trial, when the judge says to Joe Pesci that the next time, didn't I warn you the next time that you came into my courtroom dressed like that, you were going to be found in contempt?
Yeah.
And the sad puppy dog confused look that Joe Pesci got on his face when he said, you were serious about that? That's what this guy got. And he said the exact same thing.
We're part of Gate House and don't come, come back.
Don't you understand? So
wow.
So that was the beginning of my Friday. Throughout the progression of the rest of the shift, I ended up having to deal with every type of backwards-ass fuck on the planet, including two, which I actually diagnosed later as disorganized schizophrenics.
Yep.
One guy who, and the staff have absolutely no idea what to do with these people. And I had to explain to them, it's, you know, simple. You just let them do their thing. As long as they're not bothering anybody, it's yeah. fine. One guy came in.
Oh, yes.
The first guy that came in, he came in with he had shoes on, but he had no socks on. He had, like, running shoes on with no socks. And his underwear on the outside of his pants. He started to go around the store. He picked up a couple of things. And, you know, I wasn't paying too much attention to it at this point because I know what the whole situation was about. But then I heard, literally from across the store, somebody laughing. So I make my way over there to find out what the hell is going on. And the guy is standing there with a jar of peanut butter. And he's laughing at the peanut butter. Like, out loud. This goes on for 5 minutes. Standing there laughing at the peanut butter while other people are
moving away
and trying to avoid him as much as possible.
Don't make eye contact. Make eye contact.
Yeah, pretty much. But, I mean, no, past that, he paid for his stuff and he left. You know, he didn't do anything out of the ordinary. The problem is we don't have the facilities to actually monitor and take care of these people, so they just run loose. And a lot of normal people aren't actually used to it. But the other guy that came in, he came in literally, this guy was actually, I'm pretty sure he was homeless though. Because he came in with a handmade
wooden
cart.
Push cart.
He was wearing green overalls, gun boots, a reflective vest, and a baseball helmet. And he was one of those.
I remember
ones.
Those guys from Fallout 3.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh shit!
Never actually thought of that.
Neither did I. He's right.
I just didn't expect to see one before the bombs fell.
So anyway, that was my Friday. My Saturday, however, it was a completely different store in a completely different city. This time I was out in Abbotsford at a drugstore. So it's 9 p.m. My shift ends at 11. It's 9 p.m. I get these two guys come in, two brown guys coming in to the store, and they're your typical Ed Hardy wearing douchebag looking type of guys. So, of course, I'm on them as soon as they get into the store. I follow these guys around the store for half an hour. And all they've managed to do in this half an hour is annoy the cosmetic girl, figure out how the electric toothbrushes work, and begin and find amusement in lifting up the little compartment where the razor blades are kept.
And have the alarm go off.
And have the alarm go off. Doing this over and over and over again. So
lift makes sound. Lift makes sound. Ha!
Yeah, pretty much. Whoa.
Are they drunk or just stupid?
Oh no, they're just stupid. So at this point, I was tired of waiting for the management because they usually deal with this stuff. I don't usually deal with it because I'm not supposed to blow my cover, as it was. So anyway, I'm just tired of it. So I go deal with them. And I get them outside and I say, look, you know, I don't care what it is you're going to be doing tonight. You're just not going to be doing it here anymore. I said, I can't ban you from the store because you ain't doing anything. But at the same instance, you're annoying a hell of a lot of people in here, including me. I got better things to do than follow you around a store while you play with electric toothbrushes.
So either buy something or get the fuck out.
Pretty much. This is when they started to mock me, as most of them usually do. You know, you're just jealous because we're out, you know, doing this and blah 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 and all that. And I'm like, I had to actually stop and reboot the brain for a second. I'm like, okay, let me get this straight. You periodically go to drugstores and play with things and giggle about it.
And I'm jealous.
At 9 o'clock on a Saturday night when there's plenty of other things you could possibly be doing. See, the difference between you and me is I'm paid to be here. You find amusement in this. And I find that really sad.
Yeah. Come at me, bro. Come at me.
Oh, they did a little bit of that before they left, too. Yeah.
Did they actually say, come at me, bro?
No, they didn't say,
no, come at me, bro. I think I am the only one who's ever heard that.
No, I have. I have.
Okay. I'm not in security, though, and I've had people tell me, come at me, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, but he also thought you were a nigger, so...
That was a different guy.
Oh, I thought it was the same guy.
No, different guy.
She says to the whitest kid she knows.
Yeah, but past all of that, you know, my Sunday was actually relatively normal. But, I was dumbfounded for the last 2 hours of my shift. Well, hour and a half of my shift, because they were walking around the store for half an hour. But it's like, really, you know...
Because these guys, do they mean that?
I don't know.
Serious?
I mean, these guys are like in their early 20s. It's Saturday night, 9 o'clock. There's places to go other than
there are women.
Men. Yeah.
There are bottles of booze.
There's these guys.
I was either dating or drunk on a Saturday night back when I was 20.
Even just sitting at home and watching a shitty ass movie
with friends. Yeah.
Or even alone, whacking it. You know, that's better than playing with an electronic toothbrush in a fucking shopping freaking... What the fuck?
Kumite, point.
There's this amazing thing. It's called the internet. You can get porn on it.
I guess they found electric toothbrushes more appealing.
You can just go on that website, which is the emergency no button, and listen to that for the evening. That's more productive.
The emergency no button?
Essentially, that scene where Darth Vader yells out no for like 5 minutes long.
No.
You just press a button and it plays that clip. Big red button. That's all the web page is.
Maybe they were looking at porn on the internet, decided to go and get themselves some tools to help them whack it, and they were looking at the electronic toothbrushes upside down, perchance?
I don't really know.
You know, if you hollow out a cucumber and stick it the toothbrush on the end...
Well, the thing is...
I get it! Girls' pussies don't vibrate, for one, unless they're having a grand mal!
Well, the thing is, I mean...
If you like that, you're a sick fuck!
That would be cool.
These guys were dead shit sober. These guys were dead shit sober, too, from what I could tell. And it wasn't even...
They were straight?
And it wasn't even just the whole toothbrush thing. Literally, they have the razor blades in this little compartment on the shelf that... When you open it up, it actually makes a noise, so it'll actually tell the clerks when you're getting the razor blades out because they have a problem with the theft on that. And it's literally a doorbell sound. It goes ding ding, ding ding, ding ding. They sat there for 5 or 10 minutes opening the flap to make it go off and giggle about it.
It was the easiest way they knew to
get to a flap? I don't know.
Ring someone's what,
did,
bell?
Did they never have like a CNC?
When they were no, no, they were deprived as children.
They were ding-dings. No, ding-dongs.
No, see, here's what I find a little sad. I'm a history nerd, so bear with me here. They were brown people, correct?
Yes.
Now, see, once upon a time, India produced the Mughal Empire.
Yes.
The Maharajas of India were immensely wealthy, powerful, well-educated, cultured artists, and masters of all sorts of industries. This is what they have become.
Yeah.
Yeah, but look at the rest of society and cultures.
Mm. Yeah, it's kind of sad.
Not much has changed.
We here on the Uncle Dax Show approve the coming apocalypse.
In the herd.
We see it as a way out.
I've actually already worked out my post-apocalyptic
outfit. Here come it, come it. Here come it, come it.
This is the gaming voice I have to put up with once a week, every week.
But we don't.
Do your Scottish voice.
Here, little asteroid, come smash us to bits. We need to be made extinct just like the dinosaurs.
All 6,000 years ago.
No, that was only 4,000.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
The rules tell he plays a dwarf.
The world's only 6,000 years old. The dinosaurs wiped out 4,000 years ago.
Approximately.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess you're getting all the inside info working with the Twihards over there. Tryhards,
yeah.
I should say.
Yeah. Some of my coworkers are a wee bit invisible menish.
My invisible god's better than your invisible god.
Did you know that the Flintstones was the documentary?
Well, actually, the amusing thing is, most people I work with, they don't have an opinion on it because they don't actually know anything. They don't know what stars are.
Whoa. What?
Yeah, this sounds like a tale of the
They have this vague concept that is, you know, an object in space which produces light and heat, but that's pretty much the extent of their knowledge.
They were put there by God, therefore they need not question it.
Well, it's not that. They ask me to explain it to them because they know I'm the hardcore science writer. They don't question what I'm saying.
Okay.
So it's not hardcore religious. They
you could just be making up shit.
Yeah.
And it would
so then William Shatner fought the giant lizard.
Actually, I read something the other day.
Do you realize if you could actually turn them away from the faith that they're stuck into, you could be the next L. Ron Hubbard?
I have an idea.
I could use the fake religion from like Warhammer. And just
a friend, somebody I know on the internet... his niece is his brother and sister, I should say, are religious, and his niece has been coming around, and he convinced his niece that essentially Jesus like beat the Decepticons on like the planet Omicron.
That would have been an interesting Sunday school shit session the next week.
He can't wait till she actually asks, like, her parents about it.
Oh my god.
Oh boy.
I know some real assholes out there.
You see, here, I'm giving this.
Now, this is the kind of person I would like to meet and shake his hand and say, you, sir, are a master.
Well, see, when I encounter things like that, I try and enlighten them. I don't try and be a troll. I guess I'm weird like that. These people don't know things. I must help them.
Yes.
Introduce the world to critical thinking.
Yes.
You'll get tired of it.
Yeah.
Eventually, probably. I'll probably just start...
No, look at me. I mean, I just had somebody... there was an argument online about who shot first, Hand or Greedo, right? And it was just... Who was just
God,
talking about that?
Forever.
I know, and so somebody went, "What language are you all speaking?" And I went, "On the odd chance, this is not brilliant satirical sarcasm." I explained the Han and Greedo
and the insanity of Lucas.
Yes, and she literally did not know. So
you do
I'm
know
46.
There was a trilogy before the trilogy, right?
She had seen the movie. She didn't care. It was a woman in her 40s.
Yeah. Well, that's the truth of it. I didn't care until someone brought it up once. I'm like, yeah, and whatever.
It's nerd minutia. They do that.
Yeah.
That's true.
Well,
only other story is, it's a short one, but it kind of boggled my mind. It was, I did a wedding last night, and You know, and before
we should mention that she did it as a DJ, not as the bride or other member.
Well, everyone knows we just got married, so that's already.
I know. Maybe you're marrying people once a week. Who knows? It's been 3 weeks.
No, can I have another one? Can I have another one?
You could be a member of a Mormon splinter group.
Where I get all the men. Yeah.
No. See, what we do is we get a core group of friends. We get married. Then we go out of town, get another core group of friends, and then about another year we get married again.
Just keep rolling in the dough.
I've never heard of marriage as a pyramid scheme, but somehow I'm not surprised.
We actually need somebody to play the preacher next time.
If it exists, we can make a pyramid scheme out of it.
Go on.
But yeah, before I get going on this one, I just find it very amusing that when I got back to the office, another one of our DJs was there, and he had almost the identical wedding as I did. And this, like, we were both like, are you serious? This happened to you? Oh my god. So, I get there. We just got new equipment. Our new large systems are, we have brand new subwoofers, and we've got these big 50-pound speakers that, there's a pole that slides into the top of the subwoofer, and you're supposed to put the speaker on top. Problem number one, I'm too short and I'm too lazy.
Well, that's problem number two.
Well, that is problem number one, because I was lucky enough to have a small stage that I was set up on, so I could actually take the speaker from the stage and plop it on top of the subwoofer. But now I go to set up the other speaker. Well, I don't want to put it up on the stage because it's a lowered ceiling above the stage, so I can't put the speaker on the stand without hitting the ceiling. I can't put it on the dance floor because I'd either be in the way of the dessert table, or it would just look ridiculous, or it would be blocking my view, or whatever. So I get frustrated and I decide I'm going to tear it all down and start over. So I take the speaker off the subwoofer and I take the pole off the subwoofer and I lift up this 50-pound subwoofer, put it on the stage, put the pole on the subwoofer. I'm like trying to figure out how to get the thing on top of the pole. I like even pull out a chair and I'm trying to like carry my 50-pound speaker up on top of a stair to get. I'm like, this is not
never,
a good idea.
Never thought of you if somebody would have trouble putting something on a pole.
I know. I'm tired. I hadn't slept much this week and I wasn't really thinking straight. And when I know the procedure and I know what needs to go where, I'm fine. But when I'm doing it for the first time, I second guess myself and I get very nervous. And so as a result, I ended up setting up my equipment three times. Three times! Before I finally said, fuck it, I'm just putting the fucking speakers on the fucking floor. I fucking had it. But as a result, I was a little frazzled and I had shown up maybe half an hour earlier than I was supposed to. And it was only for this reason that I was almost ready to go when the MC came up to me and said, oh, the bride and groom are going to be coming in soon. I need the microphone. I'm not actually supposed to start for another 20 minutes. So you may be waiting a little bit, but I promise it won't be 20 minutes. Well, your speakers are here. Yes, but they're not plugged in yet. Oh, well, how long will it take? Could be 5 minutes, could be 20. Bear with me, I'll be right back to you. So I'm running around trying to plug all my shit in. Long story short, I had some trouble getting the subwoofer to hook up sound at the speakers, blah, 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 get it all sorted out. I haven't done my makeup. I haven't even put it on pit stick. I haven't had a smoke in 2 hours, but they want to, you know, they want to get going. Whatever, fine, let's go. Here's the microphone, here's how to use it. There's another MC. I have to tell him all of this, too. I said, well, why don't you bring him over here? I'll teach you both at the same time. So she runs and she gets him. And I run through it. Keep the mic close to your mouth. Bump the elbows of the people that are doing speeches. On and on and on. Here's how the button works. Fine. I'm going to get the music loaded up for when they walk in. Oh, they have music? I thought we were just going to do speeches. As they're walking in the room? Oh, well, no, I guess not. Uh-huh. And I look at my paperwork for the first time. They don't even have an entrance song pick. Okay, here's a song. Random. All right, let them in. So they do the announcements. They walk in. I start playing their cake-cutting song, because it was an upbeat song. And they're kind of looking at me funny. Like, why are you playing that? And I'm like, well, what do you want to come into? Crickets? I'm trying to do you a favor here. Stop giving me the stank eye. Just sit down, smile, and enjoy yourself. So now, the MC, the male MC, who has been listening to my instructions very carefully while playing with his smartphone, decides that he's going to start talking. So he's doing the speeches, meanwhile, totally ignoring every role I gave him. Can't remember what the button does. Can't remember where the button is. He's keeping the microphone 10 feet away from his face, and he's giving me dirty looks when I get feedback or lose his signal because I'm trying to crank it the fuck up to even get anything that he's saying.
Keep the mic in your mouth.
Suck on the ball. Get used to it. And this goes on and on. And so I'm chasing everyone around all night, giving them directions. This is how it's supposed to be done. You guys are doing your first dance for how long? What's going on? You're losing half your guests. Come on, chop, chop, chop. Meanwhile, the bride is walking around the entire night with her eyebrows nearly to her fucking hairline like she's wired. And I finally realized why. Because when I finally got 10 minutes after they walked in and did their stupid speeches and did their stupid dinner service and all that, I finally got a chance to go to the bathroom and put on my fucking makeup, and I go in there. Almost every single woman at the party was in the bathroom getting shit-faced. Because it was a pay bar and they were charging $5 a beer, so they'd all snuck in booze. Even the bride. Right from the flask. What do you want? You want porn stars or do you want slippery nipples? And they're like holding flasks. Bottles. So fine.
Wow, you had the most together wedding I've ever fucking been to.
It was almost as bad as ours.
No, so ours was together.
So we get there. First dance, ready to go-ish. And I'm verifying with them because I have no timeline. We're doing the first dances and then the parent dances. Do you want me to introduce, get everyone else up halfway through the bridal party dance, blah, blah, blah. And I'll have your bouquet and garter ready to go later in the night whenever you guys are ready. And she goes, oh, well, I was thinking about doing the bouquet and the garter first. How is it usually done? I said, well, it can be done either way, but typically you do the first dance first. What's called the first dance, right? Okay, great. Thank you so much. She says insincerely, wide-eyed, like a deer in the headlights. I turn around. The photographer's there. Okay, this photographer has stored all of her gear in my space, used up half of my plugs. I've been talking to her all night about, are my lights interfering with your shots? Is there anything I can do for you? I'll let you know when things are happening. I always coordinate. I always try to be helpful and cheery and lovely. And she says to me, are we doing the bouquet first or the garter? And I said, actually, we're doing the first dance. We'll be doing the tossing later. And she goes, how many weddings have you done? And I said, I've been doing weddings for 14 years, as a matter of fact. Well, I have never seen it done this way. I don't know why you would do that. Really, it makes absolutely no sense. And at this point, I'm just like, what? Oh, man. I just wanted to lose my shit. Seriously, it's bad enough that I'm having to babysit 8 unattended children that are doing the usual when there's a stage, running up the steps and taking flying leaps off, knocking over my lights.
What, we're talking real children?
Real children. Oh, yeah. Running around in circles. With their arms out in the air, just trying to catch the lights. You know, that's fine.
Grappling hooks. Steam-powered grappling hooks. Children!
Smack!
Where's Batman when you need him?
No one was paying attention to these children. I was literally having to, like, grab them and pull them off of my speakers because they were trying to climb on top of my speakers that were on the ground. I can only imagine what would have happened if I had actually had a speaker on a stand at this wedding. Squish!
Kid pate.
I think we're gonna end it there.
Oh, so much hope for humanity. Oh, God.
Yeah, right.
We're screwed. We're screwed. We're completely
screwed. The sad thing is, that probably wasn't even a white trash stand wedding.
It was, okay.
Lower middle class.
Request list, 2 pages long. One half country, The other half, hardcore techno. There was no middle ground. If I was not playing either Garth Brooks or Deadmau5, nobody was dancing. But if I played Garth Brooks or Deadmau5, they were all dancing. And there was not like one group that came up and then sat down when the other came on. No, it was always the same eight drunk people.
To either Garth Brooks or Deadmau5?
Yes. And I would go straight from Garth Brooks, The River, to Deadmau5. Hi, friend. And yeah, they just kept doing their thing. And everyone else just kind of sat there and picked their nose and complained that I wasn't playing old-time rock and roll. And I'd play old-time rock and roll, and they'd still sit on their ass and complain. So I went back to Garth Brooks and Deadmau5.
Oh, boy.
We need to get a phone number.
No, well,
no, that's not connected to any phone we have.
We can get a burner phone.
That when you're someplace and, you know, you see something like this, before they have a chance to breed, you just hit the button. We show up wearing balaclavas, put a tarp over the building, and pump in poisonous gas.
Well, we all pile into the Uncle Deck vigilante station wagon. We wrap cave troll up to the roof with a warhammer. And we roll out.
It doesn't have to be poisonous gas. Just sterilization gas.
No.
Make them infertile.
No.
Well, I figured the flying particles in the area, the bullets,
would handle it.
Well, most people are allergic to bullets. They break out in blood all over.
And I'm actually getting quite interested in a future career in wet work. So. You might say I'm strangely comfortable.
Yes.
Oh, and I have one more quick story about the bar. I got the new Sheepdogs album. Absolutely fantastic album.
I heard about this.
I started playing a whole bunch of their songs on Friday night at Jimmy's. And at the end of the night, these three long-haired hippie dudes come walking out. They look like they were barely over the legal limit. And they say to me, I'm so happy that you played so much of the Sheepdogs tonight. We were so excited. We're actually from Saskatoon, and we know them. Now, usually this is a bullshit line, but just in case, I say, hey, well, tell your friends that they are fucking amazing, and don't stop doing what you're doing, because I am so excited to hear this kind of music. And the kid in the front looks at me with these wide eyes and goes, I'll tell them what you said, but I won't use the F word, because that's bad. At a bar at 1 o'clock in the morning.
So you have to remember, we live on the West Coast. Everything east of the Rocky Mountains is still stuck in the 50s.
Until you hit Ontario.
Then you go past Ontario.
Past Ontario.
Then the same. Then you hit Montreal, get a little bubble. Then you go past Montreal and the same thing again.
I don't know. What do we call the Angosian one? I guess we'll just call him the Angosian
one.
Yeah, the Angosian one. You've met the
Angosian. And he's only halfway to civilized anyway.
He's from Red Deer.
Nah.
It's all flyover country anyway.
Yeah. And if you live there, we're sorry, but
it's flyover country.
It's flyover.
The truth hurts. I've flown over and I've gone, wow, that's flyover country. I've looked out the window and gone, there's fucking nothing there.
Thanks for farming the buffalo that I occasionally eat once a year. At the specialty rack at Overweighty, you know.
On that note, everyone, you have a very good couple of weeks. We'll be back and we'll work out all the problems we had. So next time, we'll be able to answer a few questions. And
actually, question about the next show. Is the next show going to be our Halloween show?
The show after that will be our Halloween show.
And it'll also be our 30th episode, too.
30th episode.
Ooh.
So,
somebody wrote hi.
Hi.
Bye. So,
goodbye, everybody. Cut.
That are all the little bastards for another 2 weeks.
They can still hear us.
Yeah, but there's only so many little bastards on
there. Yeah, I know.
Scott became famous for freezing to death in Antarctica. Columbus made history thinking some island was India. General Custer's a national hero for not knowing when to run. All of these men are famous, and they're also very dumb.
History is made by stupid people. Clever people wouldn't even try. If you want a place in the history books, then do something dumb before you die. Nobility are famous for no reason. Mary Antoinette enjoyed her cake. She caused a revolution when she would not share, and her husband lost his head for that mistake. The Hindenburg was a giant zeppelin. His makers made a minor oversight. Before they filled it up with explosive gas, they should have fixed the no-smoking light. 'Cause history is made by stupid people.